Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Figure out the four parts of your mind and how to get your consciousness to
do the things that you need to do from wisdom and creativity, and it solves all of your life's challenges. And we all have been challenged and still being challenged, especially with COVID. But before I go any further, I want to say hello to my co-host, Chris. How you doing, darling?
Hello, Terry. Happy Friday. Here we are again. What?
You know it, baby. Now, you know, I appreciate Chris. He is such a good co-host because he's on a date, and he's making time to do the show remote. So bless his heart. I ain't mad at all. So anyway, I'm going to let you ask your question first, Chris, so then we can kick it off, and you can go to mute, so I'll let you have a little chance to interact with your guests and get the show rocking.
As Terry said, my name is Chris Michael Ward, just to put it out there again. And my first question to you is, how long does it take for you to write your books? I mean, it takes every author is different. How long did it take you to write your books?
Well, this book took me about 75 years to write.
Wow.
Because
wow.
It was a work in progress my whole life. I never intended to write the book. I wrote the book because I was in quarantine from COVID, and I didn't have students coming to the American Meditation Institute to share my knowledge with them. So I began to sit down and just contemplate how was I to serve my students and the people of the world. And I watched news. I read information from the media through newspapers and magazines, and I saw, gosh, people are in a whole lot of hurt. They are in a tremendous amount of pain. Mm-hmm. What can I give them to ease their pain? And what I came up with, Chris, was a knowledge of their own power that is within them, that is them, having
wow.
this human experience. And that's why I wrote Your Conscience.
Great.
Wow. Well, you know, what people don't know is that you are phenomenal. From your upbringing, from, you know, what you're the founder of, and you're just phenomenal. And but what I want to touch in first is about the four functions of the mind, because, you know, when you talk about your conscience, a lot of times, you know, you be saying, is that my inner ear that's telling me, okay, this is what I should do? Or do you can see your conscience as a warning, you know, like, okay, hurry up and leave? Because I'm sure all of us have had periods of time where, you know, sometimes you'll think something like, go, leave now, you know, and something bad happened, but you got out in the nick of time. And sometimes people equate your conscience with a voice, whether from God or something that your body is telling you that you need to, you know, respond to or acknowledge. So how do you equate the conscience with, oh, you know, intuition, I would probably say, you know, when people say, I don't know, I got a feeling, you know, when do we know what is real and what is not real?
Well, that's an excellent question.
Thank you. Conscience
is the only portion of the mind, the only function of the mind that can make a decision. It's the only function of the mind that decides what's to be done and what's not to be done. But the conscience can make two kinds of choices depending on how the other advisors in the mind are acting themselves. I'm talking about the other three functions of the mind besides the conscience, because we all know or have known or have had intuition over the years, since early childhood, that we have different voices that correspond to different arguments or different perspectives. And it's true. We actually have four voices or four functions of the mind. And if the ego, the senses, and the unconscious mind, those three functions, are noisy and unruly and insistent, then the conscience cannot do what it has the power to do. It can still make a decision, but will simply rubber stamp the loudest, most persistent voice. You know, it's the squeaky wheel theory.
Right.
However,
but, you know, Leonard,
if we can train the mind, if we can train the mind to quiet down the ego, quiet down the senses, quiet down the unconscious mind after they have presented their advice, then the conscience can reflect super conscious wisdom from the super conscious portion of the mind.
Okay, when you was talking about the other parts of the brain, like the ego and stuff, are louder and things can't be heard, how do you relate a person who is diagnosed as schizophrenic opposed to the noise of the other parts of the brain?
Well, this science of yoga really requires that you have a healthy mind to be able to see clearly, okay? So somebody that has some type of psychological illness to such an extent where they cannot differentiate, you can still help them. You can use breath work to calm their mind so that they can be more clear thinking. But this particular science to coordinate the functions of the mind really does take a healthy mind that can see things as they are, not as they appear.
Okay, makes sense. Well, Chris, I know you've got a question for Leonard.
Sure.
Oops, hold on. Yes, I do have my next question, Leonard, is, you know, I read that you have a meditation institute. Now, is there, since we're still living in a pandemic, is there a special meditation you got for COVID-19, or is it all just basic for everything?
Well, it is basic for everything, Chris.
Okay.
Whenever we have any type of emotional issue that lowers our immune system, then we become challenged. And what meditation does is it helps to transform, helps us to transform the energy of our fear, of our anger, and our selfish desires into strategic reserves of creative energy, willpower, and healing energy.
All right. Well, just to be clear, I figured it was all just basic, but some people have meditations just strictly for COVID. So that's why I asked.
Okay, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Leonard, I have another question for you. You were saying in your book, Your Conscience, that it could lead to well-being and everything. How do I take my conscience and, you know, quiet the other three of the four parts of my brain? Because a lot of times I'm trying to figure out what is intuition, what is my conscience. I mean, you say ego, everybody got a little bit of that, but how can I know what is my conscience or what is intuition and which one I should act on? Because sometimes when you wake up, you might feel like, ooh, you feel uncomfortable for some reason. And how do I know when to respond to that? Or that's just, you know, a night fear or whatever, or you just wake up, you know, because of some crazy dream you can't remember. When do I know I need to focus on what I'm feeling mentally that I, you know, I didn't verbalize with no one else?
Well, the more that we rely on our conscience as our true guide, the conscience has the ability to reflect our intuitive wisdom.
Okay.
And the more that we experiment with that in easy things, not when our emotional buttons are pushed necessarily, when we're in dire straits, but just in the midst of every day, you know, small little choices. Am I going to brush my teeth? Am I not going to brush my teeth? Am I going to get a good night rest tonight, or am I going to stay up till 12, 1 o'clock surfing the Internet? Whatever it is, if we can experiment with easy experiments, then we establish a relationship with the conscience, and we can recognize that voice among the other voices from the ego, the senses, and the unconscious mind, and we're not fooled.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to take a little small break. We'll be back in 2 and 2. Stay with us.
Drives me so crazy and gives me butterflies. Or it may be the way you kiss me so tender. Oh, you're one special lady. For your love I surrender. Yeah. Tonight, baby.
Drop me a comment right now. Love y'all.
That's Uncle Charlie and Smokey Robinson. But we want to get back real quick to Leonard. And Leonard, I just want to say, first of all, I'm just honored that you're here tonight, because people don't know that you, for the past 25 years, you was on the faculty at the New England Institute of, I don't know how to pronounce that medicine, A-Y-U-R-V-E-D-I-C. But
Ayurvedic.
Anyway,
Ayurvedic.
Okay. And I'm also impressed with the fact that you was a direct descendant or direct disciple of the Swami Rama of the Himalayas, and that you are the founder and director of the American Meditation Institute in New York. Tell us some more about your background, because I am so impressed with the things you have done.
Well, my background started when I was a young child, Terry. I was always very philosophically directed. I always saw things in terms of philosophy. And the second principle that guided me has always been practicality. Unless the philosophy has a practical application and can make us feel better physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, help us to experience the purpose of our lives, then I really did not give it much attention. So those are the two guideposts that really brought me to where I am today, and that is philosophy, and the second is practicality. I'm a down-to-earth person, no nonsense. Don't beat around the bush.
I
want to make the best decisions that I can. I, like everybody, want to be happy and healthy and secure. And the answer is everybody needs a business plan, but nobody teaches us how to create a business plan for our own happiness.
That's true. I know your voice is so soothing. You know, I know it has to help when you are talking to the people that you're teaching. I remember when I was back in college, I had a class, and in the class, the teacher had everybody, you know, close their eyes, and she was talking and telling us to visualize this and that. And I was actually drawn into that, you know, because I could feel, I could hear the water and stuff that she was talking about. She had got everybody so calm and relaxed, and that kind of meditation, I wish I could be able to learn it for myself, because it takes you to another realm. It might sound crazy because I'm not into meditation, but for me it seems like it gives me another dimension of myself where I feel like I can just float away from my body. But it might sound crazy, but I don't know, it's such a relaxed position, you know, that, you know, I don't have no fear, I don't have no stress. I just feel like, wow, my battery has been recharged.
Can I ask you a question, Terry?
Sure.
What do you love to do? I don't mean like. I mean, what do you love to do?
Okay, I love coin collecting and going through my collection and looking for rarity, like, you know, sometimes something that double stamps.
Mm-hmm.
I love spending time with little kids, because kids are so honest. And I love being at the ocean, just sitting there and watching the waves come by. I like ambiance. It might not sound like much, but I like things that are soft and relaxed, and that's what I like. I really enjoy that.
So when you're at the shore or by the ocean,
Yeah. And
perhaps the sun is setting, and you're just sitting there, soaking it all in, and it's just an amazing experience, isn't it? And
yeah,
you feel wonderful.
You
feel wonderful during those times. Mm-hmm. Well, what if I were to tell you that you could feel like that any time, any place, under any circumstance? You don't need the ocean. You don't need that terrific book. You don't need that fabulous movie, you see? You don't need anything outside of you. The feeling that you're looking for, that we're all looking for, is at the core of our being. And so what the sages always suggest is learn to go within, to seek within, and find the kingdom of heaven within. Then,
okay,
from
okay,
that,
man,
from that fullness and that bliss, there's nothing that will be impossible.
Okay, I'm going to ask the question real quick, then give Chris the opportunity to ask this question. But the question that I have, and maybe it's just me, you know, there are times when I just feel inadequate or like, you know, wow, you know, why am I feeling like I could be doing better than what I'm doing? And I sometimes I feel like, what's going on with me? How do I fix that? How do I, like the book says,
well,
how do I
you
control
first
my
of all outcome? You have to first of all you have to know where that thought came from. Which function of the mind has created that thought? And most of the time, Terry, it's the ego trying to gain control of your life, you see, because the ego is afraid. And so we need to parent and train the ego. We need to parent and train the senses. We need to parent and train the unconscious mind. And then we will be able to transform the negativity of those thoughts into a strategic reserve that will enable us to fulfill the purpose of our lives.
Praise God. Chris, I know you got a question because talking to Leonard, man, so many things I wanted to ask him. So I'm going to let you ask your question because, man, you're very phenomenal, Mr. Perry, Mother.
Yes, my next question, Leonard, is there a way we can quiet our consciousness so we're not overloaded?
That's a good question.
Well, yes, there is. There's several ways, but the fastest way is to calm the breath. You see, the breath is a physical manifestation of the mind. We know already that when we get nervous, when we get upsetting news, what happens to the breath? It gets jerky, and we might even hold our breath. Mm-hmm. And yet, when we're in that situation, like, say we're sitting next to Terry at the ocean, watching the sunset, and everything is just blissful, well, the mind is very calm then, and the breath is very calm. So when the mind is agitated, we cannot just turn the agitation down, but if we calm the breath, make it full and even without any jerks or pauses, that calmed breath will automatically calm down the mind.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've heard people say, you know, just calm down. Like when somebody passed away, just calm down. Just calm down. And sometimes it's just hard to calm down when stuff happens. You know, so I've heard that a lot, you know, and I've tried sometimes to calm down,
but
it don't work.
What you need to do is you need to change your perspective and you'll change your experience. It's like looking at something from the far side of the moon. It becomes a different kind of experience if you change your perspective. And if you begin to look at everything from the perfection that you are, then solutions appear automatically.
Wow. Shit, I need to get your book. Wow. I mean, you're absolutely right. And, you know, I was raised coming up in a high-strung family. So, you know, we like go, you know. And
Of course. Sure, sure.
Yeah, and it's hard to break bad habits. I'm just saying.
Well, it is. It is. Yes, it is. It's a challenge. I'm not candy coating it. It's a challenge. That's why it's critically important that we don't take on too much too soon. Here's an example. If I never built up my muscles of my body, never went to the gym, never did any exercise, and in the afternoon of life, I realized, gosh, I need to be a little stronger. I need a little more muscles. The last thing I would try to do is go to the gym and start picking up 200 pounds. Because I have no experience, I really don't have the muscles to pick up 200 pounds. The ego might suggest, oh, try 200 pounds. But no, that would injure me. But if I really felt a need to build muscles, having done nothing like that before, I would start with only a couple of pounds. Nothing too challenging. And within a week, I'll add a few more pounds. Within another week, I'll add a few more pounds. And each time, as I increase the weight, building my muscles, I won't injure myself.
That makes sense. You're right, because your mind will be telling you, go ahead and lift the 200 pounds because you want to be able to do it because you feel bad because you didn't get really nothing as far as physically, you know. It was amazing to talk about that because I just joined the gym yesterday. I ain't went yet, but, you know, and I got to the point where I said, I'm tired of looking at TV and saying what I want to look like opposed to what I look like, you know, and, you know, what somebody else like how I look. It's not what I want for myself, you know. And maybe
that's right.
If I got rid of some of these pounds, I wouldn't be hurting my back so much, you know.
Yep, that's right. It's got to be easy, Terry. It's got to be easy in the beginning and throughout. If it's easy, it'll be right. In order to be right, it will be easy.
Right. You're absolutely right. Well, Chris, go ahead and ask your next question because, man, we went out of time already. We want to get a minute back on this show and do a part two. There's a lot of stuff I need to ask you about.
Yeah, Leonard, I guess, do you have enough material to write another book? Do you want to write another book?
You know, I didn't want to write this book. It was just that the situation came up, and I felt that I need to be of service. So if there is a situation, Chris, where I felt that I need to be of service to share something with a practical purpose, then, you know, I'm ready to go in the game. Put me in, Coach. I'm ready to play.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
Well, I got a question for you, Leonard. You said it took you 75 years to write a book. Your picture does not look like a 75-year-old man. Are you a lawyer, somebody who was living life naturally with the beard and stuff, you know? Because your face don't look like you're 75.
Well, I'm very fortunate, Terry, because I have been able to change a lot of the habit patterns that I had when I was 14. And I tell people that if I had the same habits that I had when I was 14, one of two things would be true today. Either number one, I would have died already, or number two, I would be very sick.
Well,
but I fortunately have been able to change my habits. I don't eat food that 14-year-old boy loved way back when. I don't eat that food that he loved then. I eat food today that loves me, that loves my brain, that loves my eyes, that loves my ears, that loves my lungs, that loves my pancreas, that loves my liver and muscles and joints and glands.
Wow, man, your skin is so smooth and silky and no wrinkles. I mean, I cannot believe that you're 75. Ain't no way.
All the body is in the mind. All the body is in the mind.
When your mind got your body looking good, and it's not milk. You know how you say milk does the body good? Huh, your mind does your body good.
Right.
Yeah. All right, I'm impressed. Well, tell everybody how much your books cost and where they can get your books from. And how to get a hold of you.
I'm not really sure how much the book costs, but I know that you can buy it at any bookstore and also Amazon. It's not that much. It's around, I don't know, it's about $15, something like that.
Okay. Well, how can he get a hold of you? I mean, now that
I founded the American Meditation Institute in 1996, and we have a website. It's the website is AmericanMeditation.org. AmericanMeditation.org. And if you want to know more specifics about the book, Your Conscience, you can visit that website at YourConscience.org. YourConscience.org.
You know, so before we get up out of here, because we're running out of time now, I just want to ask you one more thing real quick. You founded this American Meditation Place. So you already knew what it takes, the business plan, how many people you're going to need. I mean, because that in itself is phenomenal. I mean, you just took your money from a bar building, and I'm going to create this. I mean, how did that come about?
There was a need to be in service. There was a need to serve. And so I was instructed by my teacher to start teaching. He did not say what or where or how, but I trusted him. He taught me what I'm teaching you. And so when he said to start teaching, the only thing that I felt confident in teaching, the only thing that I felt qualified to teach, was what I practiced. And that is what I am speaking to you about today. I practice this. This has worked for me. And so I'm thrilled to share it with anybody who can hear.
Wow. Leonard, I so appreciate you. And like I said earlier, once you be on the show, this is home, you can always come back because there's just so much that I could ask you. I mean, because you're so wise, and I gravitate towards people who show some kind of wisdom because I try to learn something new every day. I don't care how small it may be, but I try to learn something new. And just listening to you, you know, you got a calming voice. You talk and it's so, like, so soft and so inviting, you know. And that's why I tell people, when you talk to people and you're raising your voice and you're all amped up, I get defensive because I feel like I'm under attack because I can't understand the decimals being so high when you're trying to communicate with me. And I feel the calmness and the relatability to you just got by the way your tone is when you talk.
Well, Terry, I appreciate that which you just told me. And that means to me that we have a close relationship. And if there's ever a time that you would like me to come back to speak to you and to your listeners, it would be a pleasure and an honor to be of service.
Thank you. And trust and believe, in this new year, I'm going to be calling you back, darling. I'm booked up through February, but I'm going to get you back here because it's just so much, you know, that I could just talk to you about. You know, man, I would love to be one of your friends and live near you. Hey, you know, Lenny, you know, we'll be chatting all the time.
Yep.
You probably say, Terry, take your butt to bed. I'm tired, you know, because I like talking to you.
Well, I'm here, and I will be here for you. So don't stand on ceremony.
Well, thank you, darling. I so appreciate that. And I want you and Chris to have a safe weekend and a good upcoming week. And thank you. I'm going to find your book on Amazon, and I'm going to order that because I really appreciate, you know, you being here, Leonard, because, man, you made time for us, and that really warms my heart. But you have a great weekend, and thank you. And you will be coming back because me and Chris are now family. And, Chris, I appreciate you coming on, and you already on a date, and your date's sitting there saying, like, I wish he hurry up. So I'm let you go back to your date.
Thank you.
And then you have a good weekend, darling.
You too. Have a good weekend.
All right.
Take care, Chris.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Goodbye.
Bye.